Overseas now, Myanmar's military cracked down on protesters and protesters calling for the return of civilian rule and the release of ousted civilian leader Aung San Suu Kyi. The army says anti-coup protesters could face up to 20 years in prison if they obstruct the armed forces. Meanwhile, the country's de facto leader, Aung San Suu Kyi, will front court tomorrow to face charges of illegally importing 6 walkie-talkies. Michael Charney is chair of Asian and Military History at the School of Oriental and African Studies at the University of London. Michael Charney, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Aung San Suu Kyi will get her court hearing tomorrow, on Wednesday. What's likely to happen in that hearing?
I would expect that she will not be able to be released from these charges. I expect that they'll open up the case, but eventually she'll be prosecuted for this. One of the goals in doing this was probably originally to have leverage over her as a threat, but now that it's actually gone to this extent, I think that they will go ahead and she will be convicted. The courts are not independent. And one of the purposes of doing so is that once she's convicted, she won't be able to, first of all, she wouldn't have the opportunity to run in the next elections because the conviction carries a maximum three-year charge, imprisonment. And then once she's convicted for this, she wouldn't be able to run again in any case because she'd be barred from holding office. So I don't expect that this will come, that this will end positively for anyone except for the military.
It will be very symbolic if Aung San Suu Kyi is given a prison sentence, given how many years she spent in detention previously and under house arrest for all those years. So you're saying that she is unlikely to be freed after the court case on Wednesday. She will remain in detention?
That is my guess. She'll remain in detention. And I have to say that the world has changed in the years after which she was under house arrest, and her reputation has changed. She's not seen as the human rights icon anymore for the world. And the world is a lot less likely to interfere now with the way that geopolitics has changed in Asia. The Burmese expect a number of Burmese expect that the U.S. military is on the verge of invading to save the Burmese people, and that world just doesn't exist anymore. China and Russia are blocking any type of international cooperation against Myanmar. None of the Southeast Asian states that could interfere are going to. Many of them have some of the same types of political systems now, and are a fear of popular democratic protests. And the PRC certainly wouldn't encourage that either. India and China both pulled back away from their confrontation on the northern frontier recently. They are also not eager to have any problems in Myanmar.
So what you're saying is the coup is unlikely to be challenged. The generals don't feel under any pressure. I mean, we've got a group of ambassadors in Myanmar from Australia, the EU, the US, the UK and Canada. So none of those countries you listed there releasing a statement voicing their concern about the coup, the shutdowns, the arrests of activists, civil and political leaders. But you're saying that's unlikely, the generals unlikely to feel much pressure from that.
No, they won't. Any move by the Quad to try to interfere in Myanmar is going to be resisted by the PRC. And so you'll see the world talk about concern and deep concern, and the generals will be held to account, but it doesn't mean anything. The worst that's going to happen are sanctions, and the West just doesn't have the degree of investment in the Myanmar economy anymore that it once did. The generals aren't under any real pressure.
And what's the investment of China in the Myanmar economy and in the generals?
Well, quite large. I mean, in terms of the economy itself, it's 30 or 40%, depending on what you're talking about, exports and imports. The big thing, though, is that they've got it's part of the One Belt, One Road. They've got their natural gas pipeline running through Myanmar. They want to maintain a stable government there. They prefer to work with Aung San Suu Kyi, but they will not undertake any effort to destabilize the situation to put her back. So they want a stable Myanmar. That is their top priority. They will go with whoever's in charge who can promise that stability.
And what about the protests? People are out on the streets. People look fearless. I mean, I saw images last night of people standing. The tanks are out on the street. That's happened in the last 48 hours. So there's really been a sort of step up in the overt aggression from the military. But the people are, on the face of it, being very brave in the face of that.
The people are very brave, but the numbers are not out there like they were. So we have a very strong representation from the Z Generation Z, and they are very dedicated and very serious about this. And I support, you know, they deserve, you know, international support. But the rest of the crowds have become intimidated because they're used to the old days of the military, things they've seen in the past, 1988, 1990, 1997. So you see fewer people on the streets now. As the military presence grows, that's what will happen. I'm afraid for those people who are still protesting on the streets in the days ahead.
And in terms of the people on the streets, the army's been carrying out nightly arrests. It's given itself new search and detention powers, which look to me quite extensive on the face of it, something like 20 years in prison for a term for inciting hatred of the government or military.
This is the implementation of existing laws. The emergency powers were already there in the laws that were available. And critics of the NLD, for example, were charged with treason and sentenced to 20 years in prison. So these laws already existed. The regime is just reiterating that they have declared a national emergency. They'll be putting these laws. They're putting these laws into effect and warning the crowds. At this stage, we're still at the point now where they would prefer to intimidate everyone and warn people off and have them go back voluntarily than to have an open clash. The open clash, though, will eventually come for those who don't.
So how extreme do you expect this to get?
If they stay on the streets, it will eventually become very extreme, very serious violence. I expect that the daily internet darkouts, blackouts, that these are intended to reduce communications, but I think they're also intended to intimidate, but also to regularize us. So at some point during one of these blackouts, they will move. And no one will know that anything's any different because this has been going on every day and will go on every day until the end of the month. I would say that if anything's going to happen, it's certainly going to happen within the next 2 weeks.
Michael Charney, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Michael Charney is Chair of Asian and Military History at the School of Oriental and African Studies at the University of London.